So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a new chapter, chapter 8, the manifestation of Brahma from the Garudak Sai Vishnu. Text 1. Maitreya Vacha. Sri Maitreya Muni said. Satsevaniyaha. Worthy to serve the pure devotee. Bhatta. Oh, certainly. Puruvamsa. The descendants of King Puru. Yat, because. Lokapala, the kings are. Bhagavat Pradhanha, chiefly devoted to the personality of Godhead. Bahuvitaha, you are also born. Iha, in this. Ajita, the Lord who is unconquerable. Kriti Malam, chain of transcendental activities. Pade Pade, step by step. Nutanya Yasi, becoming newer and newer. Abhilaksham, always. Translation. The great sage Maitreya Muni said to Vidura, The royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotee because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. Translation responsibly. The great sage Maitreya said to Vidura, the royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. Purport by His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya thanked Vidura and praised him by reference to his family's glories. The Puru dynasty was full of devotees of the personality of Godhead and therefore glorious. Because they were not attached to the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma, but were directly attached to Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, they were worthy to render service to the Lord and his pure devotees. Because Vidura was one of the descendants of that family, naturally he engaged in spreading wide the ever new glories of the Lord. Maitreya felt happy to have such glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura as the most desirable because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. Omagana Timiranda Syaganjana Shalakya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimari Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pachagane Nevasesha Shunivari Pashachade Satayane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. So this whole purport is all about appreciation of devotees and devotee association. This is the most important thing. And in this purport, Prabhupada is pointing out that there was a mutual appreciation, both from Vidura and to Maitreya. Both were appreciating each other. Vidura for asking the wonderful questions of Maitreya, just asking, you know, about the different pastimes of the Lord and the creation and so on and so forth. And by Maitreya actually espousing this wonderful Krishna consciousness to Vidura. And by this interchange, everything was becoming newer and newer. There was ever fresh. This is the thing with Krishna consciousness. It's ever fresh. And so this point of association, I just wanted to speak a little bit today about association and how important actually association with devotees is. In the temples, having association with one another, making sure that we have good relationships with one another, taking time to actually be and associate with other devotees. And in our bhakti vriksha groups, making sure that we have good association. This is quite important. From this purport, Prabhupada says he considered the company of a Dura most desirable because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. So by that association, by associating with one another and talking about the pastimes of Krishna, that actually is the greatest gift that one could have. We've been given a wonderful gift by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master to have this association, to have this pastime of actually being with other devotees. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 9, Machita Madgata Prana, Bodhiyantas Parasparam, Kantiyas Chamam Nicham, Tushanti Charamanticha. So the devotee of the Lord, Krishna explains, derives great satisfaction and actual bliss by enlivening one another and discussing the pastimes of Krishna all the time and finding pleasure in that. So I wanted to direct our attention to that, that this is such an important thing. The topics of Krishna alone are just so fulfilling. And we should talk as much as possible about the pastimes of Krishna, if we can. Just in association with one another, husband and wife, God brothers and God sisters, that we read sections of the Bhagavad Gita and sections of Krishna book and Bhagavatam together. And it's ever fresh. No one gets ever tired of hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Similarly, also, we should also express and talk about the different preaching adventures that we have, Sankirtan stories, you know, and we should search every day, you know, what was my Sankirtan story for today? How have I made an impression on someone in their Krishna consciousness today? And this is really important. Right off the cuff, who could actually say they had a Sankirtan story yesterday? Yes, okay, tell me your story. What happened?
There was a couple that was on book distribution, and there was two mothers,
mm-hmm.
who had let their children dance in the kirtan, and now the kids were dancing for a long time.
Wow.
And they were just happily watching and waiting for them and smiling and encouraging them. And at one point, the two kids had flowers that they picked from nearby and were like playing in their kartel.
Oh, far out. Good on you, good preaching.
And I put a shrimp up over time in one of their hands. And I regret not engaging both of them. I was just talking to one and fully neglected the other one. But I said, this book is really good for parents because it's principles for success, like inner success. And she said, sometimes it's really hard, but other times it's really good. And I said, what if I told you this book could make it always blissful? Always be in a cool head, always equipoised. And no matter how bratty your kids are being, you can be in a cool head from which you can make really great decisions about how to deal with them in such a way that they're left feeling complete.
Wow. Good preaching.
She took some.
Sankirtan Jagya Ki. Well done. So did you write that down? Have you got a little Sankirtan journal?
No, I don't.
Every one of us next to our bed should have a little Sankirtan journal. And when you have a Sankirtan story, think every day, was there a Sankirtan story today? And then you should share that with your other devotees, you know, with your god brothers and sisters. Just relate. You should see the story we had. Any of the ladies have a Sankirtan story yesterday? No? None? It's interesting. So if you're looking out for actually how can I preach, how can I present it, and then write it down, you'll remember it. So preaching adventures are really ecstatic, really ecstatic. There was one preaching adventure that happened when we had the Rath Yatra. This was so amazing. You know how we had the altar set up for Lord Jagannath, right? And somehow or other they had forgotten to bring the stage. Remember that? There wasn't a stage there for quite some time. And all of us were freaking out because the Lord was sort of standing on the side. You remember that, Mathura? There wasn't any stage? And so all of a sudden we were waiting for these guys to deliver stage. So all of a sudden this van rocks up at about 10 o'clock or something with the stage. And these burly guys came out and they put the stage in place, right? And all of a sudden they started laughing like anything, you know? And I thought, what are they laughing about, you know? And I said, what's the laugh? And he said, well, one of our mates, he had a full-on conversation with your guru, right? He thought Prabhupada was real because we had Prabhupada sitting there, right? And he was saying to Prabhupada, you know, look, sir, I'm really sorry that we were late with this stage. And then they turned around to the other, and the other guys turned around, mate, it's a statue. But to him, Prabhupada was real, and he had a moment of interaction with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was there for this person, you know. He was embarrassed, but I said, don't be embarrassed, you know, this happens quite often. And actually, Prabhupada to us is very real. So this was a really good sacrifice story. When we were in Mayapur, we got to meet with so many nice devotees. You know, again, association in the Holy Dharma is just the best. It's just the best, you know. And we met for the first time this really nice devotee called Badri Narayan Swami Maharaj. And he is just such a nice man. And his whole thing when he gives classes, has anybody heard Maharaj's classes? His whole thing is telling pastimes and stories, you know. It's just so funny and so... all Sankirtan stories. And this one story I have to relate to that he told. And everybody's at the edge of their seat. He said, in our temple one time there was this devotee who was very shy. And he didn't want to go out on book distribution. He was really, you know, no, it's not for me. I'll stay back and cook and, you know. So somehow or other Maharaj convinced him to go out on book distribution. He was really, really shy, and he was having books and everything. So anyway, the first house that he came to, he knocked on the door, and this really old lady opened the door. You heard this story? This really old lady opened the door, and he presented, you know, the Sri Ishupanishad. Wasn't it, Bhakti? The Sri Ishupanishad. And the little lady was there, and she's looking at him as a devotee. Yeah, he put it in her hand. So she's holding it. She's looking at the book, she's looking at him, she's looking at the book, she's looking at him, and she drops down dead. She passes away, right there and then in front of him. Anyway, the ambulances came, so this guy was just so confused, you know. But in Narayan Maharaj was saying, actually, she was waiting for your association. She was waiting her whole life, right until the end, for your association. And you came, you brought the scriptures, and you brought the devotees. And the last thing she saw, she held on to the book, Sri Ishupanishads. She saw the devotees, she saw the book, she saw the devotees, she saw the book. Woo! And he was just amazed, you know. He said, see, this is Sankirtan. And he said, is it always like this? So this was over and over. You know, so it was amazing. And there was story after story. The devotees at Mayapur were just cracking up with his stories. It was just so nice. So the most precious and valuable benediction that a human person can have is the association with a divine person who's dedicated their lives to Krishna consciousness. This is the greatest opportunity you can get. So in our dealings with everyday people, we have to be aware of that. That we're coming in the line of Srila Prabhupada. You know, here it was mentioned in the purport, the dynasty that Vidura was part of, that great family dynasty. Well, when you become a devotee in Krishna consciousness, you join the greatest dynasty of all, and that is the Gaudiya Sampradaya. You become part of this great wealth, this amazing family. So you have to carry yourself like that. When you see anywhere where Prabhupada was walking, he was extremely, not proud or puffed up, but he was confident in himself, because he knew where he was coming from. So similarly like us, even if we're doing mundane dealings with people, even if we're not necessarily wearing the devotional garb, but we're doing some mundane sort of work, carry ourselves in that dynasty of Prabhupada. And you'd be surprised how many people notice something different about you. You know, like so often I have to wear non-devotee clothes in different preaching functions and so on and so forth. People notice there's something different about you. And you'll notice that, and that's with all the devotees, if you carry yourself like a devotee. And to give that association with a person is the greatest benefit to them. So when we don't take full benefit of the association of devotees, it's like we're neglecting the most precious gem. You know, I mean, we have, if you're given a jewel, the most valuable jewel, you hang on to it like anything. You know, this is mine. You know, it's like precious. You'll protect it, you'll stop it from being stolen, you'll just hang on to it because it's valuable, it's so valuable. And when people get large sums of money or a gold bar or something, what do? They lock it up in a safety deposit box and hide it away. I've got this, you know. But actually, there's no need for us to hide this gem of association, this gem of devotee connection at all. We're proud of it and we carry it as a badge. And so everywhere we go, we actually are full of this association and this connection. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastikoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhihoi. A moments of connection with a sadhu is so valuable. And that moment can liberate one. If we give one eternal liberation. This is the point, you know. And we may think, well, we're so fallen and we're not pure devotees and so on and so forth. How can my association in any way affect someone? You have to understand that you're in this dynasty by the fact that you're presenting Krishna consciousness, even if it's to a limited capacity, even if you are not completely, fully realized, your spiritual master is, and his spiritual master is, and they will act through you. Krishna acts through you. And so thereby you have given a person that opportunity to develop Krishna consciousness. In Mayapur this time, in fact, we had no time to do anything as far as parikrams or visiting places or anything. It was just 8 to 10 days of just meetings and conferences and everything. It wasn't a bhakti. It was just like, that was full on. From the moment we arrived there, we put our bags in the room, and Anutama said, oh, there's a meeting up at the GBC room. You have to go up there straight away. And from there on in, it was just meeting after meeting after meeting. But the beauty of it was so enlivening because of that fact of association. You got to associate with other God brothers and sisters. It was just amazing. And that's the great benediction. Devotee association is the great benediction. So that was it. And then we have the other important thing, which I really wanted to mention because time is slipping away, is we're getting the chance for really great association with the 40th anniversary of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir coming up, the 40th anniversary. We're getting replies now from devotees. We've sent out invitations to the Prabhupada disciples, and we're just in the process of sending invitations out to the subsequent grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada that have had association and have had service here in the temple. And we're getting some replies back from the Prabhupada disciples. And it's really interesting. When we get those replies, what they're saying is that they not only really appreciated Prabhupada's association and the fact that he was here when they were there, but to the person, they're all saying, and we so appreciated the devotees' association. Some people have even left Krishna consciousness. They were only here for a 5-year period. But every one of them is saying, you know, in that 5-year period, my association with the devotees, you know, with Mother Visa, with Hari Sori, with all, they have such fond memories of that, that it changed their lives. That association changed their lives. And in fact, that association has left an indelible mark on their being. You know, how close they were in the ashram situation, how fond they were of their leaders and so on and so forth. And everybody that's sending a reply is actually stating like that. So this is really a wonderful thing. So all of us at this 40th anniversary will get an opportunity to serve these devotees that are going to be coming. And some of them, all of them are really great senior devotees, you know. We're very fortunate to say that we've got Bhai Babi coming, Charu's wife. And Bhai Babi was probably the most instrumental person in decorating this temple, in setting up the deity worship of Radha Ballabha and everything. She was the person to actually coordinate that, and the architecture, how we're doing the whole front fascia at that stage. And So she was very instrumental in that. So she's coming. Harisori Prabhu is coming. And he's going to relate some of the pastimes that he's had with Prabhupada here. And so many other senior devotees. A lot of senior ladies that were current at that time are really keen to come to again associate. And I said to them, you know, well, you know, you're going to have really good time here. There's going to be opulent prasadam. And the first thing they said was, oh God, no, Bhakta, no opulent prasadam, please. We just want steamies, yogurt, and some flat rice. Our bodies can't handle it anymore. So it's an opportunity of sharing their pastimes with them, you know. And again, hearing the pastimes that they had with Prabhupada here and the adventures they had in setting up this temple. So we have an opportunity to hear from them, but more importantly, we have an opportunity to serve them. This is the key in Krishna consciousness. For real deep association, we want to serve people. We want to serve people. We want to help people. We want to, you know, we are grateful to them and we want to serve them. So a couple of times that Bhakti and I have had to go to either Tirupati for conferences and ILS and communication seminars and so on and so forth, and also in Mayapur, the thing that has astounded us most is the service attitude of the devotees. When you go to these places on these special times, you know, the attitude of the devotees, in particular in Tirupati. Who was there in Tirupati? Were you there at Tirupati? Samahini? No, you weren't. They would go out of their way to help you in any way, as your accommodation, as far as prasada, anything, you know. And it was, have you got enough bottled water? Have you got this? Have you got that? Do you need that? Do you need an extra blanket? Do you need this? Prasadam, catering for the needs of the different prasads and everything like that. And so even though the actual temple structure was beautiful, the deities were beautiful, the thing that we walked away with at all these different functions was how amazing and how wonderful the devotees were in their service attitude to us. We were nobodies, you know, but yet all of them, they served us so nicely and it was just amazing. So this is the mood, this is the mentality, this is the direction that we want to give to those people that are coming here for the 40th anniversary. This is the sort of spirit that we want to have. We want to inundate them, overwhelm them with welcoming service in any way that we can help them, you know. And so that means having nice prasadam that suits them, you know, caring for them, looking after. It's only a 3-day program, but in that time, each one of us will get opportunities to look after them. Now, there's apparently, we think, approximately 60 to 100 people that will be coming. So we need to billet them out to different places. And so we're looking at grihasthas that perhaps have an extra room in their house that they could accommodate them, look after them, and bring them to the temple for the different functions just over the weekend. So Kasturika will be organizing that. And I'm asking everybody, could they please see what they can do? And then if they are in your house, to really look after them as a special gem, as a special personality. Because it is so beneficial, as Vidura is saying, as Maitreya is saying here, it is so beneficial for that mutual, let me serve you and I'll serve you, and so on and so forth. That interaction, that giving and taking and receiving is so important. And we do everything in a very loving and sincere way. And with realization, understanding that these devotees have done some amazing things to set this place up, to get this place which we now are so comfortable in, you know. They are helping you and your family to be Krishna conscious by their efforts in the early days. It was pioneering days to set up this place, you know. It's so important that when they come, we realize that. So sometimes within a community, we get to know each other pretty well. You know, we know our foibles and our good points and our bad points and so on and so forth. And sometimes when we're presenting Krishna consciousness, you know, or a class or something, and it's the same Bhaktivedanta is giving another class, oh God, it's boring. You know, we tend to take it for granted. So similarly, it should be, now that these special guests are coming, we should really open our ears and listen to the pastimes of Krishna. We can't help that sometimes we become bored within our Krishna consciousness. That's human nature. But in the spiritual realm, that doesn't happen. In the spiritual realm, everything is ever new and ever fresh. And because it's revolving around the Lord, and it's revolving around loving pastimes. So every time we hear the pastimes, we should really pay attention. Krishna's pastimes are ever fresh and exciting. And the reason why Krishna's pastimes and activities are so ever fresh and exciting is that they are spiritually and totally on the level of pure love. Just love. Krishna's interaction with the devotees. It's really interesting. If you read some of the pastimes of Krishna from Krishna book, you know, the actual residents of Vrindavan never really thought that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, I mean, they put everything, oh no, I mean, it must have been the demigods that did this, or somehow he was particularly in power, because they loved him so much, just as a person. You know, even when the cowherd boys would say, no, Krishna did this, you know, the cowherd men and women would say, oh, stop, you know, you're just exaggerating, you know. Even the final one was when, you know, I mean, they doubted Krishna's supreme personality, being the supreme personality of Godhead, right till the end, you know, like one of the last pastimes, you know, one of the pastimes that Krishna had was lifting the hill with his little pinky on his left hand. And the cowherd boy and the elder men actually thought, geez, we better give this little kid a bit of a hand here, because that's pretty heavy to... So they put these sticks up, you know, thinking that they will help Krishna, you know, so if we, you know, we'll just prop it up, you know, this little boy, I mean, there's a lot of weight, you know, we better just help him along here. And then Krishna said, okay, well, you know, let me just reduce the hill by 3 inches, you know. So the hill went, and all the sticks broke. And then they realized, oh, Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. So this is the Leela. So Krishna didn't come to this world to enjoy material sense gratification. In the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, the Lord is eternally engaged in the most blissful, loving exchanges with pure souls who are his eternal devotees. This material world, on the other hand, is a place of misery. Misery of birth and death. A place where there's envy and hatred. And this is not the place for us. We're actually wanting to go back to the spiritual world. In this place, all living beings are condemned to the threefold miseries. Adiatmik, Adidevik, Adibolti. You know, and no matter who you are, no matter whether you're the wealthiest person in the world, whether you're the most educated person in the world, those three things, by other individuals, by the wind, by so many different factors, by the mind, there'll be disturbances. And we're captured in that. So, and no one can escape those three miseries unless they become a devotee. Therefore, the Supreme Lord came to this material world personally and simply to reveal the way in which we can make an exit, to get out of this material world. And he teaches that in Bhagavad Gita, that the process by which we can achieve the highest joy of pure devotional service, and how to give it up, how to give up this material connection. Anyway, to escape all the suffering of this existence, we simply have to realize our eternal pure nature, as we're part of God and the spirit soul, and not this body. So recently we had an opportunity, just as far as we're not these material bodies, Bhakti and I had an opportunity to do a talk. And it was a talk for International Women's Day. Big thing. And so we were asked, there was a symposium, like a conference, on how to deal with family violence. And they had different speakers that were going to speak on different points about family violence and how do we solve this? It's a problem that's increasing and ever increasing. And they, somehow or other, they wanted us to speak, and they wanted me to read a little bit from Bhagavad Gita, and I did that. And in the end of it, though, I said to Bhakti, I said, you know, really, I should have been a lot stronger. You learn in your different preaching engagements, and I sort of facilitated them in a sense, you know, because they were saying, well, this is wrong, and perhaps if we did this, and we did more counseling, and we did this, but they avoided the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is that they've forgotten who they are and their relationship with God. Didn't mention that at all. And so there was this real, at the end of it, I said to Bhakti, I should have been far more stronger, because, you know, basically what they're doing is they've got the boil, you know, that's festering, and that's family violence, and all they're doing is blowing on the boil. Whereas actually you have to lance it with Krishna consciousness, you know, that you're not this material body, you're actually spirit soul, that we have to dedicate ourselves to the service of Krishna. That's our duty in the human form of life. So in a sense, I was a bit upset that I didn't go a little harder into it. But anyway, you learn from your experiences.
They brushed it aside.
Yeah. You did, actually. You brought it up, which was good. So Krishna explains that if we live in accordance with his instructions, we have to learn to see everything in this world as God's property. And we must know that we cannot be the owner of anything. You know, like this family violence thing is a thing that's there in the world. Now, we may say that, oh, we're devoid of that as devotees. Let me tell you, you're not. Even in our society, there are incidences of family violence. And it's a very serious thing. So the real purpose of everything is to be used in Krishna's service, even in our marriages, Haribol Prabhu, even in our marriages, in our relationships, again in our association with one another. It's not that we're male or female. We're all spirit souls. This is the philosophy that Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. And that we should be respectful to both male and female. And we should be having close and deep association with one another. Our bodies, our minds, our wealth, our family, our abilities, everything is meant to be used in the service of Krishna. Because Krishna is the proprietor of all that exists. Our partner in life belongs to Krishna. You know, our friends belong to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So we deal with that in a very deep way. And to the extent that we claim things to be our own, we're bound by the laws of karma. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram. As long as we think that we are the proprietors of everything, you know, and we can't get anywhere. We have to grow. And to understand these things in the parampara and through association, that's our real wealth. That's our strength. So the Supreme Personality of God is imparting so many wonderful pastimes for us to talk about. And they're ever fresh and they're ever new. So why is it that within our hearts we can't continuously think of these pastimes on a continuous basis to constantly remember Krishna? Because we're still materially covered. We still have these inebrities. We still have these unwanted things hanging off us. You know, by nature, we're conditioned souls, and by nature, we're prone to listen to gossip and listen to rumors, you know. What did he say about you? Or what was that? You know, it's like our mind, you know, goes straight from Krishna to some gram katha, you know. Oh, what was that? What were they saying about me? You know, so it's like, you know, we go to Vrindavan, to India, and you see the pigs in Vrindavan, and it's a horrible analogy, but it's true. They're forever searching out fresh stool. You know, the fresher the stool is, the better it is. So the more juicy the gram katha or the gossip is, she did what? They did what? You know, it's like all our senses go, wow, this is a juicy bit. But it's actually just pigs chasing stool, really. So this material enticement never satisfies one. You know, there's never any gossip that will just, well, that's the best gossip I've ever heard. I never want another bit of gossip. It never happens. There's always something new. So when these material attachments are removed from our heart by pure devotional service, by associating in a Krishna conscious way, then we'll get real attachment and connection with Krishna. And hearing his glories, hearing his pastimes will become really thing. Of what we want to do. So that happens by taking association of advanced devotees who make the pastimes of Krishna ever fresh. This is mentioned in the purport here. Ever fresh, you know, to have these pastimes revealed. And again, the examples are there when we hear from the acharyas, from we hear from the senior devotees, you know, the older devotees. When we hear their pastimes, they're ever fresh. They're always enticing, always fun. Like, again, we had such wonderful association with these great Vaishnavas. I'm not picking anybody in particular, but, you know, like, Radhanath Swami gave a Bhagavatam class and everybody was, like, riveted. The temple rooms, both temple rooms, both in Mayapur, you had the main temple room and then you had the Parampara, the Panchatattva temple room. Every room was riveted on Maharaj's classes. And then, you know how he does that? I love that when he does that. He said, and then there's a particular pastime. Do you want to hear that pastime? You know, now you've heard it 100 times, you know. But from the mouth of a pure devotee like that, you go, yeah, we want to hear it, you know. It's like, then your ears start pricking up, and then he explains it in such a way that is so enticing and so ever fresh. But you've heard it 100 times, but when you hear it from the mouth of a pure devotee like that, it's just refreshing. Similarly, I didn't get to see this personally, but I later saw it on YouTube, where Jayapataka Maharaj gave a class, you know. And he was just so wonderful, you know, in his presentation. And it was so clear, and it was, you were hanging off every word. And then the other thing was, when you hear these devotees chanting the holy name of God, like they had the Kirtan Mela there, unbelievable, unbelievable. You know, everybody was so into the chanting, you know, it was just ecstatic. And then when Jayapataka Swami, we know how afflicted he is with his stroke and everything. Has anybody seen that clip of him chanting in Mayapur? Oh, you have to have a look at it. It is amazing. To the extent where he got his servants to lift him up out of his chair, and you know how he's so incapacitated, he lifted his hands up like this, and it was such a powerful moment. Haribo! You know how he used to do that in the past. Everybody was just, you know. And then they said, well, because Jayapataka Swami was doing these amazing classes, kirtans, that the tears were coming from the deity's eyes. I don't know whether that was the case. It was pretty humid in there as well. So, but however you want to take it, it's fine, you know, because the deities do interconnect with the devotees. So this was a wonderful pastime. So these are the things, you know, these magic moments in the Holy Dharma, and it needn't be in the Holy Dharma, it can be here too when these great souls come. And also when one of our God brothers and sisters is giving class, you listen closely and the nectar is there. So the other thing that I want to talk about is in this age that we're living in now, this wonderful Kali Yuga, we've got the wonderful thing called the internet. Internet. And in particular, we have Facebook, you know, and so many times people that we're all prone to this gossip thing, we all like to, you know, there's a great thing about the internet, but there's also a very negative thing about the internet, isn't it? I mean, we like to hear about the pastimes of some of the devotees, and you like to see what this temple is doing and that temple is doing, but then in between, there are these gossipy things, you know, the fresh stool for the pigs. And we by nature happen to, oh, well, just have a little look about that one, you know, and it goes on like that. So one such, and these things, if we go into them, can disturb us. And sometimes when you get caught up into this thing, you know, we'll follow that one through and this one and that one, and all of a sudden you look up and you've had 2 hours on Facebook. Anybody can experience that, in all honesty? Yeah, it happens because of our nature. So what we should do as much as possible is restrict our time to Facebook. I mean, it's a reality. It's nice to hear what devotees are doing, but sort of set yourself a goal. Okay, be strict with yourself. For half an hour, I'll see what my friends are doing on Facebook and then shut it. That's it. Finish for the day. Pack it up. Have that strength to do that. It'll be to your best benefit. One of the things that, and that won't disturb your faith that much, you know, and don't go to those negative sites and everything. So one of the things that may sway your faith, one of the things that recently happened is a disturbance. There's been articles and commentaries on dreadful occurrences in India and around the world about rape. Anybody aware of that? Yeah, pretty well everybody. And there's a BBC documentary called Daughters of India, which is gaining a lot of airplay and a lot of critical acclaim. It's a horrible situation, what's happened there and what's happening around the world. I mean, there was another girl just recently in Melbourne killed here, and it's happening all over the world. And there's a reason for it. We know what the reason is. It's lack of God consciousness. It's, again, it's the boil. People are saying, how can we solve this situation? Well, you don't know the truth about your human existence, and you're trying to patch it up with counselling and this and that. blowing on the ball is doing nothing. You cut it. Tell the truth. So anyway, some ignorant individuals have somehow or other drawn Srila Prabhupada into this saga online. Anybody aware of that? You're aware of it, right? Yeah. Stating that Prabhupada made controversial comments about rape, which these commentators have taken out of 1, historical context, 2, linguistically, and 3, cultural context. So they've said these things about Prabhupada which are really absolutely wrong. And hence some devotees and friends of devotees have become disturbed and shaken. And we've had calls from our communication team nationally, and we've had discussions with international communications as well, saying that devotees have been ringing up saying, did Prabhupada really say that? Is it really like that? And we've had to clear the thing up. And these people that are putting these things up on Facebook are just taking different snippets and negative attitudes and stuff. So for anyone who would like an official response, so Anuttama, who is the Minister for Communications, has put out an official communique and a response to these false allegations, and I'm more than happy to give out a copy. I have 5 copies with me today, which I'll distribute to anybody that's interested, and then you can make photocopies from that. If you have people that you know that have somehow or other been affected by this, you can make a copy, and it clearly and precisely tells you how to deal with this problem. Okay? So it's an issue that is there. It's an issue that won't go away because it's like that stool that's on Facebook. This is a real juicy one and people all go for it, you know. So we have to deal with it in a proper way. So if you can help with that, that'd be good. And if you need that, I'm more than happy to pass it on. The main thing to remember in all of this is that Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life for the greatest gift that we've all been given. We're sitting here, not intoxicated, not going crazy on ice, not obsessed by sexual things, not gambling with our lives, not interested in, you know, various activities like this crazy race that's going on at the moment. And you hear these big mosquitoes flying around. Insanity. We're not interested in any of that. We simply want to be good devotees and serve Prabhupada and Krishna, because that's the greatest nectar that we can get. So, Krishna, we have to remember that. The Prabhupada sacrificed his life. He gave everything up to come to the West to give this knowledge to us, and we've got it. And so this is the greatest gift. Now, in conclusion, I have to mention that today is Sri Sri Vasa Pandit's appearance day. Everybody aware of that? It's his appearance day. So Sri Vasa is part of the Panchatattva, the 5th member of the Panchatattva. And I just wanted to read a couple of things about before we finish up, just about Sri Vasa Pandit. So he led his younger brothers, the 4 Sri brothers. They're all Sri. Sri Vasa, Sri Nidhi, Sri Pati, and Sri Ram. So he led the 3 brothers in worshipping Lord Krishna, performing devotional service, and bathing thrice in the Ganges. On his order, they moved to Navadvip and began to associate with senior respected Sri Advaita Prabhu. So again, the point of association. They moved to Navadvip to have Sri Advaita Prabhu's association. So, meeting with Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, they studied Bhagavatam, performed Harinam Sankirtan, and prayed for an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And why did they pray? Because only an avatar of Krishna could re-establish Vaishnavism among the staunch atheists, logicians, and proud pundits harassing Nadia at that time. So Srivas Pandit and his wife Malini became the intimate friends of Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata. When Lord Vishwambhara appeared, the hearts of all the devotees were filled with parental affection. So Srivas was 30 years older than Lord Chaitanya. So he was already quite a senior person. He was Jiva, and he said, it said that he was an incarnation of Narad Muni. So After the birth of Lord Chaitanya, Malani would regularly visit and give advice to the younger Srimati Sachimata on how to raise her wonderful child. And she served Nimai as a nurse. Malani's mood was always friendly and she tried to satisfy Sachidevi in every possible way. Nimai looked upon Srivasa Malani just like he did his parents. So it was like second parents. Gaurachandra loved Malani and Srivasa as second mother and father. Srivasa's house was located 200 yards north of Nimai's house. And Srivasa Pandit's palatial home has large comfortable rooms, high protective boundary walls, and lush densely foliated gardens and groves. Every night, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his dearest friends would enjoy ecstatic kirtans here and taste the mellows of Vrindavan. It was here that the angry Muslim Qazi broke the sacred Madanga in his foolish attempt to stop Krishna Sankirtan movement. Henceforth, Srivasa's house was known as Golbanga Danga. Do you know that? Golbanga Danga. The place where the Madanga was broken. The Qazi passed an ordinance prohibiting Sankirtan, and visitors would be converted to the Muslim faith or lose their property. Sound familiar? Islamic State was there 500 years ago. ISIS was alive and kicking even then. So although most Nadia Vasis panicked over this, Srivasa Pandit laughed at the fanatical law. He couldn't care less for it. So some of the glories of Srivasa Pandit. He is a Jiva Tattva, or the marginal potency of Sri Krishna. He appeared on earth as Sudha Bhakti, or the unalloyed devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He is the perfect Brahmana Vaishnava and the foremost devotee of the Lord. He was an accomplished kirtan leader, and every year at Ratha Yatra, he would lead one of the kirtan parties for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Gauranga Sundara showed his divine form to all his eternal associates and at Srivasangam. The house of Srivasa Pandit served as the headquarters for Gauranga Sankirtan movement. It was here that daily Bhagavatam classes, nightly kirtans, and many confidential Raja pastimes of Lord Gaura Rai occurred. He dedicated all his energy to Lord Hari's Nam Sankirtan movement. He surrendered his mind, body, friends, family, and possessions to Lord Gauranga's service. There's that pastime where his son passed away. You can look that up in the Madhyalila today if you get a chance. It's a really amazing pastime where his son passed away. He knew no other gods or goddesses. He maintained his family not because they were his relatives, but because they were Lord Chaitanya's loving servants. This is the key. Again, that association thing comes through. Again, in the mood of Srivasa Pandit, let us pray on this day that we may look after all of Lord Chaitanya's loving servants here in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, now and in the future. We'll finish up with one of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with Srivasa Pandit. So this is a pastime that I thought I'd just relate from the Madhyalila. One day, in an ecstatic mood, Lord Gauranga entered Srivasa's house, asking, "Srivasa, whom do you worship? Whom do you meditate upon? Now, with your own two eyes, see that person standing before you." So he manifested himself as Krishna. Saying this, Mahaprabhu entered the deity room within Srivasa's home temple and sat down on the simhasana of Lord Vishnu, revealing his own forearm form, holding a collar, conch, disc, and lotus flower. Seeing this form, Srivasa was totally stupefied. Sri Gaurasundara then said, "Due to being called by your Sankirtan and loud roaring of Sri Advaita Acharya, I have left Vaikuntha and have descended upon this mortal world, accompanied by my eternal associates, and will destroy the miscreants that deliver the pious. Now, without fear, you can chant my glories." Hearing these words of the Lord, which dispelled all fear, Srivasa fell on the ground, offered obeisances, and then began to recite the hymns in praise of the Lord. "My obeisances to the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishvambara, whose bodily color is like that of a newly rained cloud, who wore garments which are the color of thunderbolts. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of a peacock feather and garland of red of red beads, Gunjamala. My obeisance at the lotus feet of the pupil of Gangadas, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisances at your lotus feet, you who carry a buffalo horn and a stick and a flute. Four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. So that's the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila 2272. Today my birth, activities, my everything has become successful. Today my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today the race of my forefathers has finally borne fruit, and my house, which was also their house, has become blessed. Today the great fortune of my eyes is complete beyond calculation, because I've been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune. Having described the glories of Sri Gaurasundara in various ways, Sri Gaurasundara showed even more compassion to Srivas by revealing himself to all his family members. Seeing the niece of Srivas Pandit present before him, Prabhu called her to her. Narayani, call upon Sri Krishna. He called out, Narayani, call upon Krishna with tears in your eyes. And immediately this little girl, only 4 years of age, as if in a delirious frenzy, began to cry out loud, Hare Krishna, while shedding tears incessantly. In fact, the flood of tears coursed down her body to such an extent that the ground around her feet became soaked. Seeing little Narayani totally agitated in ecstatic love, Srivas's wife and even the household servants all began to shed tears of love. The courtyard of Srivas took on a very special appearance, being decorated with ecstatic love for Krishna. Srivas Pandit Ki Jai. Hare Krishna Guruji. Any comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu. Okay, this is not really the forum that I'd like to discuss that, but I have that comment that Nutama has made, which, that to give it complete justice, you have to read the whole thing. And I'm more than happy to give it to you, and just read it, and that will put everything in the right perspective. Yes, Bhakti? Is that okay, Kundalanta? You want a copy of that? Yeah.
People can also email you on the forum for the discussion.
Yeah, that also. So I've got some copies. Any other comments or questions? Can you pass it to Kundalata? I'll give a couple over here and then a couple to the men over here, so you can just distribute that amongst yourselves. Okay? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for the wonderful class. I find myself being fearful in a lot of areas of my life, including association. Like to be personal, really acknowledge devotees, like some of them, like who I don't particularly like click with materially or for whatever reason. Like I find myself not actually liking all devotees. And I feel terrible about that, and I'm like scared of like transforming, scared of like living outside myself and being the ideal of what devotee that I want to be towards people.
Well, it's human nature. I mean, there are some people that are closer, you have a closer affinity with, and other people that you don't have a closer affinity with. And there are even some people that you perhaps like more than others. That's human nature. We're all different. You just have to treat people with respect, you know. And it's mentioned in the Shastras that if you have a difficulty with a particular person, you know, then you offer respects from a distance. But you always offer respects. You always have that, you know, attitude, well, that person is trying to the best of their ability in their Krishna consciousness, you know. Actually, there was recently, it was Jayapataka Swami gave, and this was on Facebook, and Maharaj was saying, you know, that some people don't like me, you know, but I'll still do the best I can to help them. I can't help that they don't like me, but, you know, I'll always be forgiving and I'll always try to do the best I can for them even. So there's going to be people that you don't get on so well with. You just don't cause any offences. Again, you don't get involved in Gram Katan, you know, and you just offer your respects, but you don't need to associate that closely with that particular person if they're not, so to speak, your cup of tea. Does that make sense? It's not easy, I know. But we have to respect all devotees. And it's human nature that we're not necessarily, you know, you love everybody. But you understand also that, you know, the spirit soul is within that person, the Atma and the Paramatma are there. And that person is actually pure Jiva. In the spiritual world, you will get on with one another. But even in the spiritual world, you have conflicting gopis even, you know, that have like some transcendental spiritual animosity towards one another. So there's always these different mellows and pastimes, you know. So, yeah, there's some people that I don't get on with, but I still respect them and I love them and I appreciate what they're doing. I don't necessarily associate that much with them. And from a distance, I say, thank you very much. You shouldn't be fearful of it. It's human nature, you know.
I guess it's just really easy to make offences, because one of the offences to a Vaishnava is to not be happy upon seeing them and to not actually smile. To not be happy upon seeing a Vaishnava is an offence.
Yeah, but it's a question of knowledge, right? If you're seeing the outward personality and you really have some difficulty with that person, with knowledge, with Krishna conscious knowledge, what do you know about that person? That they're spirit soul. Yeah. And Krishna loves them very much and he's within their heart. So, you know, that's there, right? So how can you not have some respect and love for that person? That at least Krishna loves this guy or this girl, you know. Krishna loves them and they are spirit soul. So I appreciate that. And you can be happy for that. You can, you know what I mean? So with broader knowledge, Hare Krishna, how are you? So with broader knowledge, you can understand the situation. Is that all right? Any other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you. How can we increase our participation at the start of the class? You're talking about sankirtan.
Yeah. Pray for it. First thing in the morning when you're chanting around, dear Lord, let me have an opportunity to have a sankirtan moment. Look out for it. If you're not asking for it, you won't get it.
Or you'll come to it and you won't even recognize
it. Yeah, or you come to it and you won't even recognize it. And they're real subtle things, you know. They're all different sorts of things, you know, that can be attributed to a sankirtan story. So you look out for it. And the other thing is, like I said, keep a journal. If you're really wanting those pastimes to happen, then you place importance on them. You know, people write diaries all the time. Oh, I met this wonderful boy. All this kind of stuff. But for us, a journal is, you know, what are our transcendental experiences? What are our spiritual experiences? And you note them down before you go to bed. And then that gives you, you know, and then in the morning you read, oh yeah, I met that guy the other day. Dear Lord, let me have another experience like that. When you pray for it, you'll get it. You'll see. When you're chanting your rounds in the morning, my dear Lord, please allow me to engage in some. And then you put yourself out for it too, you know. You start looking for that opportunity to have a sankirtan moment. It's not that you don't, is it going to come? No. You look for it. You go out of your way to find a sankirtan moment. But you pray for it in the morning. And you'll see. Mark my words. If you do that in the morning, you'll have a sankirtan experience. And put yourself. I mean, you were doing the catering, right? Tell me a sankirtan story there. A sankirtan moment that really stands out from the catering you just did.
Yeah, just the whole thing.
No. A specific thing. Did somebody come up and say, you know, this prasadam is just the best? There you go. There's many. What did they say? Yeah. Did you see anybody else referring someone else that had never taken prasadam and come up to you?
Some people, they say, actually, I'm going to be your best customer.
Yeah. Isn't that far out? That's a sankirtan story. You know? Why that? It's not just a mundane cough the ball that they're talking about. They're talking about Krishna Prasadam. You guys are frontline fighters. Prabhupada said that Prasadam is our secret weapon. Prasadam is our secret weapon. And when you see people taking this into their system, Krishna is going in, they're serving Krishna. So when they say something like that, it's like, wow, yeah, write it in my journal. He said that, da, 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 da. And then you'll see other things. You've got to be aware. We've got to be conscious. We're Sankirtan devotees and we've got to look for Sankirtan moments. My time to shine. You know, this is my opportunity. This is my Sankirtan moment for the day. And then there's another one. And then there's another one, you know. So it's like, wow, three Sankirtan stories today. Bring it, write them down. And then you look back. I have this journal. And recently I had to clean up the office because we're getting things done for the 50th anniversary. We have to do the magazine and everything. And I'm looking through my old diaries, you know. And there were little Sankirtan stories. We met this guy, and da 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 da, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, yeah, I remember that guy, you know, he was so enthusiastic. And then again, it enlivens you because that's the pastimes of Krishna. This is that Krishna Katha, this is the ever fresh hearing. We have to have that in our lives. We have to make that a part of our life. Not that we go on in Krishna consciousness in automatic pilot. Mangalari chanting around, do the service, out we go. Mangalari, no, we have to look at each day as like a new opportunity to somehow or other spread this movement, appreciate this movement, link up with different people. That's our job. That's what we stay aware, awake. And that's whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, you know, if you're a housewife, you know, you go down to the shops and you've talked to somebody. They've asked you about something, you know, and you respond, you talk to them and interrelate and you give it a little sweet. And, you know, my neighbor came around for a cup of tea this morning and I gave her some Mahaprasad, you know, and she said, wow, that was really nice. You know, that's all Sankirtan stories. And when we instead of it just going into our memory banks, oh yeah, that was something. If you write it, it'll mean so much more for you. And then at the end of your year, you review all your Sankirtan stories. You go over them. Oh, that was that guy, and that was this one. It fills your life with joy. It fills your devotional life with joy. You see that your life has been worth it, that you've done something really concrete for His Divine Grace and for your Guru Maharaj. Does that make sense? That's what we have to do. Become really cognizant of the gift that you've been given and pass it on. Yeah, but. Yeah, right.
So it's our obligation to keep analysing throughout the day, what are we focusing on? Because whatever is in your consciousness, that's what you draw towards you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was saying, you know, with this enticement nowadays of internet, we can get internet on our phones, you know, where you used to be in a doctor's surgery or something and you just flip through a magazine, now everybody gets their phone out and starts going to Facebook. Right. So it's a fact of life. Right? It's part of who we are now. But don't dwell on the stool. Just get the nectar and shut it off. Really, it is a way that Maya will really creep in and just waste your time. And I can only say, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. It's just something that we have to be aware of. Restrict it. Okay. Alrighty? Srila Prabhupada ki. Kundalata, if anybody